My name is Charles Schmid. We'll be talking about a side project that I've been working on with my PhD advisor, Dr. James Murphy. So we've got a good introduction from a lot of the previous speakers about soil organic matter amendment and how that affects compaction. So I'm not going to belabor that point anymore, but I do want to talk a little bit specifically about our situation in our state and why we developed some of these projects. So in 2010, the Barnegat Bay Action Plan was signed into law by Governor Christie. And it was a 10-point plan to reduce the pollution into the Barnegat Bay. One of them was the requirement that the Secretary of Agriculture and the Commissioner of the EPA modify the soil erosion and sediment control standards. So in this, they were to address soil compaction issues attributed to the stormwater runoff and non-point solutions. So once adopted, all new construction requiring erosion and sediment control must conform to these new standards. So those that aren't familiar with Barnegat Bay, it's a small brackish arm of the Atlantic Ocean that is separated by the Barrier Islands, which you can barely see in the sliver here, and then Long Beach Island. There's one inlet right here, it's the Barnegat Bay Inlet. There's an inlet in the north and also in the south, so there's not a lot of water flow through here. So it tends to get brackish. It's not a lot of good circulation, so any kind of contaminants that go into the soil or into the water stay in the water. Some of the problems that are associated with this area are algal blooms, fish kill, diminished clam populations, and also the new one is the increase in stinging nettlefish. For those of you that are Jersey Shore fans, Seaside Heights is right around this area here, so that's kind of how you can refer to it. And we have a larger map of New Jersey here to show kind of where it's at. So this brings along the project that we're involved in. It's called the Soil Health Improvement Project. It was coordinated by the Ocean County Soil Conservation District and funded by the Barnegat Bay Partnership. And the goals of this project were to identify the optimum physical, chemical, and biological properties of the Ocean County sandy soils and to improve infiltration and reduce runoff and nutrient loss. And our task was to develop a simple, low-cost, practical soil restoration technique that could be transferable to homeowners. And we're also tasked with teaching the homeowners the appropriate way to amend the soils and have demonstration plots kind of to show them how to do these types of things. So our research site was in Ocean County, New Jersey at Jakes Branch County Park. So we've got our star here kind of showing where we're at. We're about 5 miles as the bird flies off of the Barnegat Bay. The site is a relatively new park. It was built in the late 90s, and the site specifically that we were doing our compaction work on was where they stockpiled all the soil and all the heavy equipment was parked while they were constructing the site. So it was a severely compacted sandy loam site. It had acidic condition with a pH of 5.27 and low in all the nutrient contents, so phosphorus, potassium, calcium, and magnesium. The soil of organic matter wasn't too terribly low, but it was considered in the medium range for a sandy loam, and it was right around 15.3 grams per kilogram. So here's just an overview of the site. The main building is right here, and they have a nature walk going around, and so our cultivation, our compaction plots are right in the middle of that, so it's very easy access to homeowners so they can tour these plots. They actually have wine tastings and stuff right next to it there, so it's a high visibility area, and a lot of people go by this site and can look at the differences between plots. The experimental design for this study was a randomized complete block with four replications. We had four different treatments that we applied to the soil. The first was a no soil improvement or a control. Second, we had just a tillage only treatment. Then we had two treatments with tillage and soil organic matter amendment, and each of these were targeted at a different soil organic matter content. So the first one was 25 grams per kilogram for organic matter, and the second one was a higher rate of 50 grams per kilogram. And the reason we chose these numbers, the 25 grams per kilogram would be in the acceptable range for a sandy loam soil, and then we wanted to double that to see if we can get even further improvement. Our tillage treatments and amendment treatments were applied prior to seeding on the 24th of September 2012, and our plot sizes were 2.4 meters by 6.1 meters. So a little bit about the initial site preparation. You can see here the picture of our site prep. Here's that main building here. Our trial site was prepped by removing and stockpiling all the topsoil. The subsoil was then graded and rolled firm, and then we replaced the topsoil back onto the surface. We loosened that with a Harley rake, which is pictured here in the corner. It's also the attachment that's on the back of the tractor here. And this would represent a typical soil prep method that we see on construction sites, and this is what the control would be in our study. So now we'll move on to our tillage treatments. The first thing we did was we tilled, we ripped the plots with a subsoiler, that's pictured right here, to a depth of 0.3 meters deep, and we did three per plot, about 0.5 meters apart. So we had three rips through the tilled plots, and then we came back in with the rhododendron, pictured down here in the corner, to break up the large soil clods, and then we also used that later on to incorporate our leaf compost. So now for our organic matter amendments, we used a leaf compost for this study. The two rates were applied at were 18.6 and 73.8 liters per meter to increase our organic matter to the 25 and 50 grams per kilogram. Pictured on top here, you can see our piles here. This would be the lower rate representative, and this would be the higher rate. What we did was we applied all the leaf compost to the surface, and then we came back in with the rhododendron once again and tilled them in to incorporate them. The lower rate got one rhododendron after the application. The higher rate got two applications. Listed below is our chemical analysis for our leaf compost. It had a relatively neutral pH of 6.7, and it was relatively low in most of the nutritional content. The one thing I do want to point out is that our carbon and nitrogen ratio was about 41, which was relatively high, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. We tried to get the most mature compost that we could. This came from the city, and this was supposed to be the best compost they had, and it could have been a little bit better. So the management for our site, we applied dolomitic lime, phosphate, and potash based on soil tests pre-treatment. Once the treatments were applied, we seeded the site to tall fescue and hard fescue at the seeding rates listed below. At the time of seeding, we applied Ocean Grow fertilizer, which is a fertilizer product produced by Ocean County and is considered organic fertilizer. So we applied that at 49 kilograms N per hectare at seeding time. And then we used additional fertilizers in late 2012 and then throughout 2013. We applied irrigation sparingly. We applied irrigation initially when we seeded in. And then in 2013, we had some pretty good drought conditions throughout the year, and we started to see some significant decline in the plots, so we irrigated towards the end of 2013 to make sure we didn't lose any cover in our plots. And we applied no fungicides or herbicides during the whole time of the study. So this is a low-maintenance scenario. We don't want to apply a lot of fertilizer. We don't want to apply a lot of herbicides or any herbicides at all. So that's what we were shooting for, a real low-maintenance type management. Data collection for this study, we collected several visual ratings. We collected turfgrass establishment in 2012 and 2013. We rated turfgrass color and turfgrass quality in 2012, 2013, and 2014. We collected soil volumetric water content and bulk density using the Troxler nuclear gauge, which is pictured here in the lower right. For those who are not familiar with this instrument, it's got a nuclear element in it, and it measures density and moisture. It's typically used in road construction, so if you ever go by a road construction site, you'll see some of these tools out there measuring the density of the asphalt or measuring the density of the subsoil. So this is commonly where it's used, but we've adapted to use it in our turf scenario here. Soil samples were collected for soil organic matter and nutrient availability, and our data was analyzed using SAS 9.3 and mean separated using Fisher's protected LSD. We also used orthogonal contrast within our study to make comparisons between specific treatments. So we'll move on to some of our results. Before, I just kind of wanted to show an overview of what the plots looked like before we seeded. So down on the bottom here would be a tillage plot with no organic matter amendment. You can kind of see the lighter color, but it looks like the soil is quite a bit looser. Next to it here would be our control, so we had no tillage, no amendment. And then you can see up on the top the darker plots are the plots that we tilled and amended. So you can see kind of the different shades. This would be a lower amendment level, whereas this one up top here would be the higher organic matter amendment level. So on to our results. First, we're going to talk about our establishment. On our y-axis here, we have our percent cover over our date. We have our 2012 data on top, 2013 on bottom. So the dotted line is our control. The black line with the open circles is our tillage with no organic matter amendment. And then our two blue lines here, the light blue is our lower organic matter amendment, and the dark color is our high organic matter amendment to 50 grams per kilogram. And this will stay the same for the rest of our slides. So initially what we were seeing is that tillage and organic matter amendment had a negative effect on establishment. So you can see here by our graph, initially we were seeing kind of a lag in those amendment plots. They weren't filling as quickly as the other plots. And this is probably likely to do to our application of fertilizer at the time of seeding. The amended plots and tilled plots got it tilled into the soil, so they were throughout the soil profile, whereas our control plot had all the fertilizer sitting at the surface. So you get short roots, short grass plants, and you can take up all the nutrients at the surface in the control plots, whereas our amended plots, the nutrients were much deeper in the soil. Also, our high carbon to nitrogen ratio on the leaf compost most likely caused some nitrogen deficiencies in those plots, and that's why we saw delayed establishment. So we saw improvement in our turf cover from the tillage and organic matter amendments by June 2013, which you can see by the circle there. And then by May 2014, all tillage plots and amendment plots had over 90% turf cover, whereas our control here lagged behind, was around 60% covered by 2014. So visually, this is what we are seeing. This was taken November 19th, 2012, so this is about 6 to 8 weeks after our seeding. This is the no-till, no-amended plot, and you can see we have relatively good cover, and it's starting to come in. The plots next to it, you see, is kind of thin, not a whole lot coming in. So initially, our no-till, no-amendment plots looked pretty good. Here's an example of our tillage and amended to the 50 grams per kilogram. And you can see a lot of sparse areas there, thinly coming in. And you can actually see some chlorotic leaf blades in there and kind of some signs of nitrogen deficiencies. So now we'll move on to a little bit of the color data. Turf grass color of the plots amended to the higher organic matter rates were lower in 2012 and most of 2013 until about the end of the season, as you can see here where they jumped back up. And this was likely due to that carbon to nitrogen imbalance that we saw that I described earlier. These effects of the C to N imbalance diminished by 2012. And throughout 2012, we were seeing that high amended rate of 50 grams per kilogram producing the highest color range throughout the entire season. And you can see that the non-amended plots and the non-tilled plots down here were below the acceptable quality range at 5 here for almost the entire season, and they dropped fairly low. So these were fairly poor-looking plots by the end of 2014. Moving on to quality. So turf quality was generally better in plots that received soil improvements. However, the plots amended with the 50 grams per kilogram lagged behind the other soil improvement plots for a period of time. By August 2013, the non-amended, non-tilled plots were significantly decreased compared to the other treatments, as you can see by the circle here. Throughout 2014, the turf quality was significantly improved for all of the leaf compost treatments. So wherever we were adding organic amendment to the soils, the turf quality was being improved by the time we got to 2014. So it just took a while for those carbon to nitrogen imbalances to wear off and for us to apply enough fertility to lose that imbalance that we were seeing. So once again, pictures say 1,000 words, so here's what we saw. This is the no tillage, no amendment plots, May 2014. You can see that the plots are somewhat sparse. They're not really growing very quickly, and there's some voids in the surface. Whereas if we look at our tillage amended to the 50 grams per kilogram soil organic matter, you can see the turf is much more green and lush, and we have almost complete turf cover at this point. So moving on to a little bit of our soil data here, the first thing we're going to look at is our soil bulk density. We've got our treatment factors here on the left with our tillage and our compost rates. Across the top, we have our dates. And as you can see, our non-amended plots have relatively high bulk density, and wherever we applied tillage or organic matter amendments, we reduced the bulk density. When we amended the soil with organic matter, it produced a greater reduction in soil bulk density, and specifically, the plots amended to the 50 grams per kilogram produced the greatest reduction in bulk density. We also noticed that over time, we were seeing a reduction in bulk density, so this is suggesting that we're increasing our mat and our roots are really building up in the soil, so we're getting a really established mat and decreasing the bulk density even more. So now on to the soil organic matter and nutrient availability. The table is set up the same way. We've got our organic matter, pH, and then our macronutrient content here. Our leaf compost amendment increased our organic matter to 30 and 55 grams per kilogram. So we actually increased our soil organic matter higher than we had predicted or expected to, which is not all bad of a problem. And then the other sites maintained relatively low organic matter, the non-tilled, non-amended plot. Our soil pH was also increased by organic matter amendment, and this is not surprising since our pH of our leaf compost was near 7 and our initial pH of the soil was right around 5.2. So that was a pretty acidic soil before, so that increase in soil pH might also have an improvement in the turf grass growth and health as well. And then our compost also increased all of the nutrients available in the profile except for potassium, and this is likely because there was a moderate amount of nutrients in the leaf compost at the time. So inclusion. Deep tillage reduced compaction and improved the physical properties, meaning bulk density and water retention. I didn't show you the water retention data, but we did see increases in water retention from tillage and also organic matter amendment. Amending the soil with the leaf compost further decreased the density and improved the nutrient availability in the plots. Amending the soil to 50 grams per kilogram soil organic matter produced the highest quality ratings in turf in 2014 throughout the entire year. And then also amending the soil to 25 grams per kilogram also produced acceptable turf quality throughout that entire season. And so the one thing we did see is with the lower rate, we didn't see such a negative effect from the carbon to nitrogen imbalance. We broke through that imbalance a lot quicker than we did at the higher rate. So that's something to consider when you're applying the leaf compost or the organic matter amendments at the higher rates. And finally, the non-amended plots were unacceptable quality throughout 2014, and we began to see some turf loss towards the end of the season. So recommendations for homeowners, and this is what we're telling a lot of the people in this area. If you have compaction problems, then deep tillage with a subsoiler should be used to break up the compaction deep in the soil, and then breaking up those clods with a rhododendron or similar type implement will be useful to prepare the seed bed. Soils low in organic matter should be amended with a source such as leaf compost, especially in sandy soils that we see in New Jersey. I've seen soils so sandy here that you can barely get anything to grow without irrigating them several times a week. We had other plots on this site that were a lot sandier, and they really have issues with trying to keep turf grass alive in this area because it's so sandy. So any addition of organic matter to these plots will really benefit the turf in the long run and be able to sustain turf as we go forward. And finally, care should be taken when selecting organic matter amendments. As you saw, we had a negative effect from our leaf compost that we applied initially. So if you can select a uniform, mature compost, and you know that it has a lower carbon to nitrogen ratio below 30-1, that will help you greatly. So if you're planning on applying an organic matter amendment, testing it beforehand and making sure that it is a quality amendment is very important. So we had a lot of organizations that we worked with in this project, the Ocean County Soil Conservation District. This is our logo they came up with for the project, the Soil Health Improvement Project, the people at Ocean County Parks System, and the Barnegat Bay Partnership for funding this research. So with that, I'd like to open up for any questions, if anyone has any. Yes.
Were you operating the troxler in backscatter mode, or did you insert the probe?
We operated the troxler in backscatter mode.
Those bulk densities are crazy low. I mean, how much thatch, Matt, you had built up by the second year?
We had a decent amount of thatch in the surface. I can't remember the initial number right offhand, but when we were walking around the site, we basically did the test with soil probes, and you couldn't get a soil probe more than an inch and a half into that soil when we initially got in there.
Then to get them below one is really low bulk density.
Yeah, it's fairly low. And so, you know, we weren't mowing it very close, so you were sitting on a bed of grass when you were taking those readings. It wasn't right down on the surface, but yes, the bulk densities are comparatively low.
I think you showed it like on your second or third slide. How much nitrogen did you actually apply until the chlorosis disappeared?
So the first year we applied about 100 kilograms per hectare, so about 2 pounds of nitrogen right at initial seeding. That Ocean Go product that I showed you, that's a very slow release product, so it took a while for that to actually kick in and work. And then the second year we applied somewhere between 150 to 200 kilograms per hectare, so about 3 to 4 pounds of N. And then in 2014 we actually didn't apply any fertility at all on those plots. So it took about 3 or 4 pounds, maybe a little bit more, to break through that nitrogen deficiency. Yes.
I'm assuming that last picture you showed was seeding the plots.
With the results slide, yes.
Yeah. So did you roll after seeding? Did you rake and roll?
No, we did not rake and roll. No.
Okay. Yeah, that may be part of why you had the difference in establishment, too, with the amended ones. Because with fluffier soil, you're going to have more footstep dimpling, and that can affect establishment.
Well, once we applied the treatments, it was roped off, so no one was walking over the surface. Now, when we're walking over at seeding, yes, you will have some footprinting and such, but typically you'll see better establishment when you get that seed-to-soil contact, and you really didn't see that in those plots. You couldn't see footsteps going across. So, but the back of the rhododendron has the roller that kind of firms it and puts it in. Obviously, it's not compacting it, but it firms it up to surface.